And here's one grace alone.
Mountains, Father, every
I want to take this time to worship you, Lord. Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, dear God. Help us to receive what you have for us this morning.
Yeah. actually listen to the words of that song, it means an awful lot. So I want us just to say those words.
Okay.
This is your house. Father,
come and dwell.
This is your house,
a holy house of prayer,
where the lost
and the lonely
bring their burdens and their cares.
This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell.
Now, can we all sing that?
Yeah.
Let's dance. Let's all sing that. I'm looking out there, and you guys are kind of looking in a daze. Like, why am I even here? Hope you're here.
Yes.
To give our Heavenly Father praise.
Yes, to give
God. To give Him worship. Glory. You're not here to appease this pastor. I hope you're here to appease God.
Yes.
Let's sing it.
Sing or
sing it.
Mean it with your heart.
This is your
last week, I did a message on keep the faith. In fact, I listened to Joel Osteen, and I'm going to try one out on you. One day, Adam was feeling very lonely, very depressed, and very down. And God saw this, and God said to Adam, I'm going to make you a companion. This companion will be a woman. Okay? She will cook for you. She'll wash your clothes. She'll bear your children. She'll never ask you to get up in the morning or in the middle of the night. She will not nag you. She will always agree with you. And if you ever have a disagreement, she will be the first to acknowledge it was her fault. Adam said, wow, God, that's great. But what's it going to cost me? God said, an arm and a leg. Adam thought a while. He said, God, what will a rib cost me? And the rest is history. I laughed on that one a few times. But, you know, that lets us know, just love your wife or your husband. Because husbands, it could have cost you an arm and a leg. This morning, if you will turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and let's get back to some realm of reality here. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. This is my continuation on the message, keep the faith. What we have to learn to do in today's society, in today's world, is to learn to keep our faith no matter what we are going through. I subtitle this, Don't Quit on Jesus, because he never quit on you. Don't quit on Jesus, because he never quit on you. Hebrews 10:35 says, Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by. Let me say that again. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Now, I love that because it takes you into the total understanding of Christ, his work in us, and what he is telling us. You know, don't give up. Jesus hasn't given up on you. You know, and I say this, if this message is for nobody else today, this message is for me. Because have you ever felt like quitting? Everyone, from time to time, feels like quitting their job, quitting their relationship, quitting the church. But today's message is, you can't quit on Jesus, because Jesus never quit on you. I would like to give some reasons you can't quit on Jesus, and how faith can help you when you feel like giving up. And I believe every one of you, including this pastor, has felt that way from time to time. Maybe more recently than latter. Number one reason why we cannot give up, because all people who said you would never make it, that it wouldn't never last, they will be able to gloat and say, I told you so. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil is out there waiting, and I'm not saying people, but people can be used of the devil. Even Christians can be used of the devil and say things. Even Peter said, said something to Jesus. Jesus was saying something to Peter. Peter replied back and Jesus said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter was not saying what Jesus wanted Peter to understand. You know, Peter was saying, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus said, No, you won't. There's a coming a very, very soon time when you will deny me three times. And Peter could not believe that. There's no way. Well, the history details it differently, but he did. Because of his weakness. We all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. No. What helped Peter more than anything is after the fact when Jesus said, there's going to come a comforter. That comforter's going to come and he's going to take my place. And when he takes my place, he's going to be able to give you the power that you do not have right now. He's going to be able to give you the authority that you do not have right now. The Holy Ghost came, presented the fire, the anointing. The anointing came, and the rest you see is history. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit on individuals' lives, God has changed the world that we know. Now, the anointing is going by the wayside. Now it's all about how well you speak. How well you attribute your words, how you articulate. Right. We are tending to believe more in our self than God. God is saying it differently. God wants us to get back to that understanding to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. So, if we allow people that have told you, how many of you went through this scenario when you were born again? And you had your lovely Jobs come to you, Job's comforters, and say, ha, it's just a fad. You think you're going to stay with the Lord? I'll give you a week. Maybe I'll give you a month. The first time you get down and out and get depressed, you're going to give up on him altogether, and you'll be right back where you started from. Come on. How many of you? I know when I first got saved, I think I carried the biggest Bible there was around with me. Because the bigger the Bible was, the bigger the Christian. That was my thought. I had family that did nothing but ridicule me. I had family that did nothing but said, Jerry, I know your life. I know your past. And like everything else in your life, this is nothing but a fad. This is nothing that it's going to last in your life. It's going to fade away just like everything else in your life has done. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, and this is what this is saying. If you give up on Jesus, then those people have the right to come to you and say, I told you so. Yeah, I told you so. I don't want that. I didn't want it in my life at that time. I don't want it in my life at this time. There are many Job comforters out there that will try to comfort you in their way of thinking, not God's way. Yeah. Today we need to be determined to don't throw away your confidence and your hope in God. Remember this. It is not how you start the race. It is how you finish the race. Last week I said, let's keep the faith and God will see you through. But when we lose our faith, faith gives us strength in our difficult times. When we're going through struggles, faith gives us the strength to go through them. When we're going through difficulties, faith gives us the hope and the reality to go through them. Faith in our Heavenly Father. When we lose our faith and hope, we will become weak and unable to face the storms of life that will come against you from time to time. Faith in God helps us to face our adversaries with boldness. Faith. See, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about what God can do with you if you have the faith to believe. Now, God is not expecting you to have the faith of a mountain. What does he say? Have the faith of a mustard seed faith. And you can change that mountain into a molehill. The Israel nation has saw that take place. There was a problem in the Israel nation. They were going through a major difficulty. They had armies that surrounded them. And the armies were all around them. They had to expand their faith in the Almighty God. And by expanding their faith in God, God showed them that he was bigger than them. They were able to open their spiritual eyes, and when they opened their spiritual eyes, guess what they were able to see that they could not see in the natural? And in the natural, you won't see certain things. In the natural, it will look hopeless. In the natural, things just look like they're not going to go through. You cannot make it. You might as well give up in the natural. But in the spiritual, when God finally opens up the spiritual eyes, it says he opened the Israel nation's spiritual eyes, and when they looked out and saw the army, guess what was behind the army? A massive, angelic army behind them, ready for the battle. And you already know the end of the story, who what. God always is the victor. Faith literally blocks out what people might say to you. Did you know that? Faith blocks out the ridicule. Faith blocks out the negative thoughts. Faith blocks out anything that is negative. Faith, if you have faith in God, they can be literally giving you all the negative aspects of life there is, all the negative parts about your life. They can be just streaming it left and right. But I tell you what, if you got faith in God, God opens up your spiritual ears, and what they're saying negative, he turns it to positive. And you all of a sudden start saying, wow, thank you for that. And they're, what? I'm telling you this. And they turn around and repeat it again. And your spiritual ears are telling you something totally different. And you say, well, thank you for that. I needed that. You'll blow their mind. Because God has turned the negative to the positive. And that's what God wants to do. He does not want us to be negative. Negative thoughts, negative attitudes, negative things will turn around and defeat the power of God. But when you are positive, when you have faith to believe, the spiritual faith to believe that whatever's going to happen is going to happen through the blessings of God. God turns the negative to positive. Number two, because you will have to go back to your old life. Now, I hope all of you don't even want to think about what you were before. But think on this aspect, if you give up on God, if you give up on Jesus, you will have to return to that old life you used to live. Oh my goodness. You don't want to go back to the old life of sin, carrying around the guilt, the fear, the condemnation, no peace in your life, no joy in the Lord. It is a bad thing to crawl back down to the pit Christ pulled you out of. Yes, serving the Lord is hard. I'm not going to tell you it's an easy life. You know, if it was easy, everybody would want it. But serving the Lord isn't as easy. There'll be tough times. But I'll tell you this, serving the devil is worse. His business is stealing, killing, and destroying. If you crawl back into his pit, destruction will be part of your existence. Now, I hope you understand what I just said. And I am not trying to do anything negative. I have made a commitment to myself several months back that I will never preach a negative message again. My message, I hope, will always be positive and uplifting. But I will tell you, if you want to crawl back in the pit of hell that you came from, you want to crawl back into that, these are the things. Destruction is in its way, and it's on its way to meet you. And that's God's word. Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I will live by faith in the adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We must live by faith in Jesus. The more Jesus lives inside of you, the less you will desire to go back to your old nature. The more he lives in you, the less you will desire to go back. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. I'm not going to tell you that there are times I even feel like quitting. I'm not going to tell you that, because then I'd be lying to you. I'm going to tell you that the closer I get to God, the closer I get to his word, The closer I get to his spiritual life, the less this world and the things of this world and the concerns of this world and the concerns of, and I'm sorry to say it, the concerns of this church. You see, I can't be concerned about this church. I've got to leave it in God's hands. As a pastor, that's the hardest thing to do. When I see a lower attendance, it hurts. When I see people that have come, leave, it kills. Right here, it hurts. Because then I always look back to the guilt of me. What did I do wrong? I always have to ask God, what did I do wrong? What did I do? See, that's your, I'm just being candid to you. Because it's hard. It's so difficult. So I have to not look to the church, but look to God. Because I'm not going to give up on Jesus. Number three, because all your effort, all your prayers, all your years of faithful service will go down the drain. Some of you, that's a long time. You just give up. Some it could be a year or two. Some it could be 5 years. Some it could be 20 years. Some it could be 30 years. Whatever it is, if you give up on the Lord, you give up all of that. That's pretty sad. The winners of the race aren't the good starters. They aren't the fast sprinters. But those who cross the line. Don't let your testimony be the one who got so close but was so far away. It's a story of a California miner. True story, by the way. This miner put all of his whole life into this mine. Put the claim in, got it done, dug and dug and dug for years. He finally says, nothing happened, okay? No gold, no nothing. A lot of dirt, a lot of rocks, a lot of blisters, a lot of wasted, supposedly, time. He left the mine. 10 feet from the biggest and richest find in California. 10 feet. He left. So close, yet so far away. He would have just had enough faith to dig 10 more feet. He would have been one of the richest men of that day in California. But he, what? He did what? He gave up. He gave up. The finish line is in sight. People, I'm telling you that the finish line is in sight. You can see it. If you have any spiritual wisdom at all, you can see the finish line. Because the good Lord, he's coming. And he's coming soon. And he's coming back for a church that's ready. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for you. The finish line is there. You just got a few more feet to go. It's up to you to either make it or quit. So many people. Verse 37 in our scripture, it says in the Amplified, "For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay." You understand what I'm saying? The finish line is there. 2,000 years we have been waiting. 2,000. You would think after 2,000 years, we'd be a little weary. And there are many Christians out there that are a little weary. But I tell you, the finish line is right in front of you. Stay firm to your belief. Stay firm to your faith. And you will see the finish. You will walk past the finish line as a victor, not a victim. Are you hearing me? Here's number three, which hits so many Christians today. Because of some little offense. you could lose out on heaven. Because of offenses, the love of many shall wax cold. You can't quit over some little offense. You can't let a hypocrite keep you out of heaven, so you don't get the credit for something that you did. You will get the reward in heaven. Don't be offended and quit. So the preacher didn't shake your hand going out the door. No one appreciates all I do around here. Don't let some little nothing rob you of heaven. And I say it this way. Don't go to hell with a spiritual chip on your shoulders. Don't let a crutch of offense keep you from walking into glory. Christians, I'm sorry, but that hits the Christian world more than any. Why do so many Christians today give up? Because some little offense, some church thing. I have one person I've been praying for the last 5 years because he was dedicated in church. He was number one leadership in church. He did a men's fellowship. He did a men's Sunday school class. One Sunday morning, the leadership walked in and said, "You're no longer going to do this class. We're going a different way. We're doing a new thing." He got offended. He got so offended, he left the church. And he has not been back in church since. He let some small, insignificant offense affect his Christian walk. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. No? Unless he gives up on that offense, unless he turns around and says, "I'm still running that race. I might have had a setback. I might have been kicked down. But like I've said in other messages, I don't care if you've been kicked down 9 times, get back up. I don't care if you've been kicked down 100 times, you got to get back up." It's not, understand on a fighter, it's not how many times you were knocked out or kicked on the ground or hit a punch and you fall on the ground. It's not how many times you're there. It's how many times you get up. If you continue to get up and win, you could be the winner of that meet. You could be the winner of that guy. You could knock out the devil. But the devil wants you down, so he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to knock you down a few times. But when you learn to get up. When you get knocked down, get up. This man, he's going to have to learn to get up. He hasn't learned that yet. He lets the offense offend him, and he's sitting there on a pity trip. And right now, every church is bad. Right now, every Christian is horrible. Look at what they do to you. Now, this is the way he's gotten. And until he turns around and says, "I am tired of this. The devil has beat me up enough. It's time to turn around." He's got to do it. When you've been kicked down, who helps you up besides Jesus? The devil ain't going to. He wants you down there. I guarantee you, the person that knocked you down is not going to help you back up. He wants you down because he wants to win. The devil ain't going to help you back up. He wants you down so he can win. The only one that will help you up is Jesus. So what? Don't give up on Jesus. No matter what you go through, don't give up on Jesus. Faith helps us to forgive those who have harmed us. I'm going to say that again. Faith helps us to forgive those who have harmed us. Because we believe that God is a righteous judge, we commit all our pain and our suffering to him. Hebrews 10:30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." Do you understand what God is saying there? Vengeance is not yours. If somebody's done you wrong, you don't get up and start to fight them. You know? If they said a bad word to you, say another bad word back to them. No. Vengeance is the best thing you can do. We used to say, keep coals of goodness upon people that have done you wrong. Keep coals of faith, coals of hope, coals of love. Oh, this is such a horrible day. Look at the weather outside. Well, you know what? It might snow and we'll have a great day. Snow, I hate snow. And I'm not going to say that I have been the one that kind of add that one on, you know, because I don't like, I mean, I like to look at snow in the mountains. I don't want it down here on the floor, you know. And I have one person at my work, sweet lady, that hates snow. She's from back south, where it doesn't snow too often, you know, y'all. So I come over there when I'm seeing the snow report. Hey, my dear, you know it's going to snow today? Jerry, you know better than that. If it snows, I got to stay home. Home. And I have way too much work to do. So I can't stay home. You know, I said, well, that's all right, dear. The Lord will take care of you. I know he will. But I still don't like snow. So you see, reap coals of goodness. And that'll change even the heart of the most negative person. Love your enemies. But see, the point is, are you going to go to... Okay, now, I ask you this. Are you going to stoop to their level? Are you going to stay up high? Stay high. Stay high with the Lord. Stay high with the Lord. No matter what people... Because you got to understand, people are out to tear you down. People are out to tear you down. Okay? The natural man will try to destroy you in every way and every word they can say to you. But I always say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that is so true. No matter what people say to you, it means nothing. It doesn't. It means nothing. Just give them love. Give them love because they don't understand. Okay? Therefore, trusting in his justice, we forgive our enemies and do good to those who have harmed us. Faith also helps us to endure suffering. When we believe that a great reward is awaiting for us for all the suffering we face for the sake of Christ, we do not get discouraged easily. Jesus endured the cross because he focused on the joy that was set before him. He did not dwell on the humiliation and the shame that he was going to face. We must meditate on the eternal reward and glory that is awaiting us. This faith will help us to face suffering and persecution of anyone that comes against you. Because, number five, because you will face eternal judgment. Verse 39 says, if you draw back unto perdition and miss eternal life with Jesus in heaven, you will face eternal damnation. God has no pleasure in those who draw back, those who give up, those who quit. Perdition means eternal damnation or simply hell. You understand what I'm saying? You will get to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Woohoo! I've heard people say, you know, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to take everybody with me. I like hell. I like, you know, I've met people like that. And my prayer to them is, I'm going to pray for you, brother. And they just snicker, give me good remarks. But I do believe we continue to pray. We continue to pray. You don't get to walk inside the gate. You don't get to walk on the streets of gold. And you miss receiving your robe and your crown in heaven. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more night in heaven. That's what heaven is in store for you. There's very little preaching today on judgment, eternal damnation, or on hell. But I will tell you that if you quit on Jesus, when you stop serving the Lord, you miss out on the blessings of eternal life in Christ and will spend eternity in perdition. And what did I say about perdition? Perdition is hell. You give up on God, that's your reward. Hebrews 10:31 in the Amplified says, it is a fearful, formidable, and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties and be cast into the hands of a living God. People don't understand that. They don't understand that what that means. They think, and I get this all the time from my people at my work, people that are dying and they haven't made that decision. And they think it's all the whole family wants to believe in the goodness that, oh, God's so good, he's going to send them to heaven. But I have to grit my teeth because I understand and know that if they don't make that decision, they have made that other decision. And that decision is to spend eternity in the lake of fire. To spend eternity in hell. Now, I don't believe there's not one human being today that could ever say, I want to live in hell. I'm talking about devout atheists. When you really talk to them about hell and what it really means, I don't believe they want to spend their life and eternity there. I can't believe. I have a hard time believing that. That anybody would want to spend their life in the lake of fire. That anybody would want to spend their life totally burning inside, yet never quitting. That's what the lake of fire is going to do. See, we don't understand. There's two things about this that you need to know. Number one, it'll be utter darkness. How many of you have ever been in a cave? Okay? You walk back in the cave and you have your flashlight, right? Or whatever, lantern, or whatever you have to lead you back there, right? And then the director that's taking you back into that cave, I did it in Virginia City. We got all the way back there and says, okay, now people, everybody be still. And he turns the light off. There is utter darkness. You can't see your nose. You can't see your hand. I could have slapped Sharon and she would have thought somebody else did it. I didn't do it, by the way. That's utter darkness. Okay? That's what hell starts out to be. The next section and part of hell is the burning sensation. How many of you have ever been burned by fire? Okay, burned by fire. Didn't feel good, did it? Okay? Was it a small burn or a big burn? Your hand, was it first degree, or second, or third? Second. So it didn't go away right away, did it? And so it hit into the nerve points of your body, which in turn set your whole nerves off, so you didn't feel good, did you? Take that, amplify it by 10 times, and it doesn't go away. And it doesn't go away. See, I'm trying to enlighten you, and I don't want to dwell on this, but a little bit to let you know now, the opposite of that is heaven. You walk down the streets of gold. The gates of pearl. You know, you have a mansion prepared for you. So when you walk up there, you won't have to live in a box or in a motel. You'll have a mansion set for you, waiting for you. Okay? It's waiting for you. Guess who's making it? Jesus. You quit on Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Your mansion just turned into a cardboard box. No, you don't even get that. It'll burn up. So you understand just the gloriousness of heaven. I can't even tell you how good heaven's going to be. It's going to be great. If you keep the faith and not quit, that faith will take you to eternity with Jesus. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confidence, and the title deed of the things we hope for, being of the proof of things that we do not see and the evidence of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact that what is not revealing to the senses. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. Don't quit. You have to come too far and you have come too far to turn back now. If you look, you can see the lights of home. Our eternal home is nearer now than it's ever been. There's a story, and I'll close with this, of about a man who signed his divorce papers from his wife. It's over. He walks out the door. The next day, she gets a letter saying that she won the lottery for millions and millions of dollars. Now that's bad. One more day, and he would have been a rich man. But not near as bad as missing heaven. Not near as bad as being separated from the saints of God. Not near as bad as spending eternity with demons, the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, and all the evil and wicked who rejected Christ. Think on that. Oh my goodness. Don't quit. Don't quit on Jesus, because Jesus will never quit on you. Keep the faith and you will make it. You will be numbered with all the saints in heaven. Or, if you quit, you will be numbered with all that rejected. Now, I hope that has opened up. It opened my eyes. I'm not going to say that I have thought of quitting many, many times.